Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of the pod. And this week, my friends, we've got a special light heavyweight edition of the Helwani Show. We've got Dominic Reyes, number one contender at 205, and Anthony Smith coming up. Obviously, the light heavyweight division very much in focus these days with the departure of John Jones from the division. So we're focusing on that on today's show. But before we get to all of that, I want to let you know that my man Scott Van Pelt makes his return to the podcasting world this week with a brand new edition of the SV Pod. In case you were wondering, Scott's been off the entire summer, lucky for him, as he's been settling into his new home in Maryland, which is, of course, where he's originally from. After spending a decade in Connecticut, SVP is back home doing what he loves, where he loves. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that what we all want in our life? To be where we want to be? Anyway, he'll tell you about all of that on this week's edition of the pod, which you can download and subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Now on to today's program, and remember, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy. Back in your life. On this Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the show. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. So, we got a lot to discuss on today's program. Monday afternoon, John Jones made it official. Finally, after months, maybe even years, of threatening to leave the light heavyweight division, John Jones, the longest reigning champion in the light heavyweight division's history, the youngest champion in UFC history, vacated finally his UFC 205 pound title. You'll recall earlier this summer, he said, you know, I want to go up. I want to fight Francis. I want to get paid. I'm insulted. They won't pay me. I'm going to leave, all this stuff. But he never officially did it. Well, on Monday afternoon, we got confirmation that he officially vacated the title, and he was done at 205. He closed that chapter in his life. Massive news. On Tuesday night, we found out that the UFC booked for September 26th, UFC 253, Dominic Reyes, who, of course, fought John Jones back in February, up against Jan Błachowicz, who, of course, fought Corey Anderson and beat him back in February as well. They're going to fight for the vacant title. The winner will be the undisputed champion at 205 pounds. This is big news. First time in 9.5 years that someone not named John Jones and Daniel Cormier will vie and win the light heavyweight championship. This is a big deal. So with John, he has said he's going to stay in the USADA testing pool. He has said that he wants to move up. Dana White is okay with that, but Dana White has also said Francis is next for Stipe Miocic. It's going to be Francis Ngannou versus Stipe Miocic at some point, the rematch for the belt. So he can't leapfrog Francis, which I like very much. I'm very happy about that. Francis deserves it. He's done enough. 4 straight wins against Curtis Blaydes and Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, Jairzinho Rozenstruik. He's the rightful guy. The question becomes, A, do they pay John Jones what he wants? B, does he wait and fight against either Stipe or Francis right away title fight? Or C, does he go up against some top contender, a Curtis Blaydes, a Derek Lewis, someone like that? We don't know the answers to those questions, but what we do know is Dominic Reyes is fighting Jan Błachowicz for the title on September 26th at UFC 253 for the belt, and that is very big news. So in today's program, we'll talk to Dominic about that in his first interview since the news came out. We'll also talk to Anthony Smith, who's fighting Alexander Rakic on August 29th in a main event fight, a 3-round main event fight. The original main event was supposed to be Zabit Magomedsharipov versus Yair Rodriguez. Yair got hurt. He's out because of the injured ankle. Zabit is still in limbo. So they bumped up Anthony versus Alexander in a 3-round main event fight. That's next weekend in Las Vegas. I'll tell you what I think should happen with John Jones a little later on. But for now, here's my exclusive conversation with Dominic Reyes. Dom, first off, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. We got a lot to get to here. So thank you so much for this.
No problem, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Ariel.
Thank you. And I love that setup you got going on there. Kudos on that. You're looking good. You're living large. All right. So let's. I like it. I like it. So let's start here. When did you first find out that John Jones was actually leaving the division and vacating the title?
In all honesty, I found out when it was announced. I didn't have any idea.
So when did they first come to you about fighting on September 26th?
A couple weeks ago.
And was the plan for you to fight Jan, or initially were they trying to get you to fight John?
Well, initially it was just a blank contract. Like, whoever we could put in front of you, that's what we're going to do. Like, it was either John or Jan. Those were the options. But it was all depending on John. Like, everybody was like, what's John going to do? So I agreed to either one, and then they came out with John's vacating, and now it's for the vacant belt with Jan.
Right. And so when you were agreeing to that sort of blank contract, was there a belt attached to it? Like, regardless, were you only fighting on that date if you could fight for the belt?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially on a short notice fight, like, you're going to give me a short notice fight, you got to make it worth it, you know?
Yeah. Was there ever any talk of an interim belt and not the actual belt?
They mentioned that, but it was like I said, it was all dependent on John. They were like, if he comes back, you know, then obviously you guys are going to rematch. It's going to be epic. Everybody's going to love it, blah, blah, blah. And then if not, then it could be for an interim with Jen, or we'll strip John, or he'll vacate. Like, they had all the scenarios, and I was like, all right, whatever. Like, so you're telling me there ain't shit I could do about it anyway. So I'm all right.
So as far as you knew, if John agreed to stick around at 205, it would have been you versus John Jones too. Like, you know, there was some discussion, would it be John versus Jan, John versus you? Their plan was you versus John, but it was up to him if he was going to stick around, correct?
Absolutely.
What was your reaction when you found out he was leaving?
Oh, come on, man. That was my reaction. Like, come on, bro. Seriously? Ah, that's whack. But then it was like, all right, well, whatever. The show must go on, you know? Either way, I'm fighting. Either way, I'm going for the belt. So the whole goal is to get the belt anyway. It sucks that, you know, I can't beat John for it at this time, but I'll catch him. I'll catch him later.
Were you surprised that ultimately he decided to leave?
A little bit. It was a little bit shocking. But then at the same time, not, because if you look, I try to look at things from other people's perspectives and, you know, what they've been through and what leads to whatever decision they make. And if you look at it, John, you know, I think truly in his heart, he felt like, you know, he won that fight unanimously, and he has nothing else to prove in the division. Either that, or he's like, shit, man, I could really lose my belt to this guy. So let's avoid that, and we'll just vacate and go up to heavyweight, and we'll make a run at the title.
So that was actually my next question. Do you believe that him vacating the title and moving up to heavyweight now, because, of course, it had been rumored and he had talked about it for quite some time, do you believe it has anything or everything to do with you?
Yes. Yes and no. I'm going to say yes because I do believe that. And no, because he's going to say no.
but think that he just doesn't want to rematch you?
I think his ego won't let him admit that I'm the reason. I know he doesn't want to rematch me. I mean, it's obvious. He vacated the belt. Like, you don't give up something you're proud of. You know what I mean? Like, I win the belt, I'm not going to be like, God, I'm going to give it up. Like, I'm going to go up to heavyweight. Like, no, man, you earned that shit. Like, why would you just give it up unless you feel like you didn't earn it? You know what I mean?
And so when you do fight on September 26th, yes, it will be for the undisputed title, but will it feel the same as if you would have won the belt back in February? Because you're not fighting John, you're not fighting the greatest light heavyweight of all time. And it doesn't have that same sort of cachet attached to it. So how do you think it will feel if all goes well for you next month?
It's going to feel freaking fantastic, man.
It won't feel like, you know, because you know what everyone will say, paper champ, this, that, you didn't beat the guy, all that stuff.
Bro, if I cared about what everybody said, I wouldn't be fighting right now. That's just facts. It doesn't matter. Like I said, none of this is in my control. I'm just doing what I can do. I'm fighting for the belt. I'm going to be a great champion, and I'm going to freaking make my family, my friends, and my people proud when I go out there and perform on September 26th. Either way, I'm performing. I'm doing what I love to do. So it doesn't matter if it's I beat John, I beat Jan, I beat whoever I beat to win the belt. I got the belt. That's all that matters. That's all that's ever mattered the whole time. I said that when I was fighting John. I said, it doesn't matter if it's John. I just want the belt. That's all that matters to me. Like, people come and go. The belt is concrete, man. I ain't going nowhere.
At some point before your career is done, would you like to get that rematch against John because it was such a close great fight, or are you kind of over it at this point?
At this point, I don't really give a shit about John Jones, to be 100% honest. He's irrelevant in my life now. So as far as I'm concerned, who, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll see what the future holds, my friend. We will see what the future holds. Maybe, you know, this is what I'm really thinking, though. I'm thinking, you know, I win this belt. It's going to create all kinds of hype. Everybody's going to be talking about you didn't beat John, blah, 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 blah. And John's going to be like, yeah, pay-per-view. All right. Uh-huh. And then we're going to come together. I'm going to be the champ. He's going to try to get my belt, and I'm going to smash him.
Oh, so you think?
And I'll never see him again. So it just, okay. Either way, like,
it's hard to know.
That's going
to
happen or it's not.
Right.
Either way, I'm still moving along. I'm good.
And you know, because of the fact that you are fighting Jan next, I mean, I would imagine that you agree that would be the guy, right? Like, you know, yeah. If it wasn't going to be John.
Jan is a beast, by
yeah.
the way.
Have you been impressed with him, especially what he did in his last fight against Corey Anderson?
I've been impressed with Jan for years, man. Like, I've been trying to fight Jan since I beat Cannoneer because I respect the guy's game. Mm. He is a very technical striker. He has more power than John. I think he's a more dangerous fight for me, to be 100% honest. He's a counter striker with a lot of power, and he has a BJJ black belt, and he's very technical everywhere. John doesn't counter strike, has no power, and he's not that technical. He's just tricky.
Wow. I think a lot of people would be surprised by that statement. You think Jan is a tougher matchup for you than John Jones?
Yes.
Wow. And so, okay, so you said that it was short notice. I do recall maybe on Sunday, I think, on Instagram, you posted something about signing a new contract. Was that the contract for this fight, or was that a new fight contract? What was that? Because you ghosted me when I asked you about that.
Hey, man. organizational policy, you know? I can't disclose everything. Yeah, it was for this fight.
Okay. Did you get a new deal for this fight?
It's a championship fight.
Okay. So you happy with it?
I am.
When did you – so, like, you called this a short notice, though. So, like, when did you first start training for this fight? Was it just last week?
Last week?
Really?
Last week, yeah.
So you're going to get maybe – you're going to get, like, a month and a half or so? How do you feel about
6 weeks of training, yes.
How do you feel about 6 weeks for another title fight? Is that enough?
It's going to be enough.
Okay.
I prefer an actual real, like, camp for a title fight. But, I mean, if they're going to disrespect me with this, then whatever. It is what it is, man. It's just adding more fuel to the fire. It's a little more adversity to overcome, you know what I mean? But it's all
good.
Why
do you feel like it's disrespectful?
Bro, it's a championship fight, and you're going to give me 6 weeks notice on a co-main?
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro.
were you not kind of staying in shape because of everything going on, or?
It's not that I'm not in shape. It's that it takes time to prepare, man.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go out there and freaking put on a hell of a show for the fans. I want to do some dope shit, man. I want to sleep them, choke them out, whatever. You know, I want to get an astonishing finish, and that takes film study. It takes time. It takes a little bit more than 6 weeks. But
what's your ideal length for a camp?
10 weeks for a five round fight.
Yeah,
5 rounds is no joke, bro. It's no joke, especially when you're a 205 pounder. We're not these little guys where energy expenditure is a lot different. When I move, it requires a lot more energy than when it takes, you know, TJ Dillashaw or Cody Garbrandt to move. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just biology, bro.
If you don't mind me asking, how much did you weigh when the camp started?
226.
Okay, so that's not too bad, right?
No, I'm not out of shape. Like I said, I've been training. I don't get myself out of shape. Like, I'm not going to go past 230. Like, I don't do that.
Right.
But it's just a little – it's a game planning thing. It's a timing thing. You know what I mean? It's rounds. It's things like that. It's just what I would prefer, you know. It is a championship fight. It is what it is. I've accepted it. They compensated me for my troubles, so – We're going to get it.
Because it's not the main event, did you try to say, hey, why don't you just put me on the October pay-per-view?
Yes. That's
and
exactly
what happened?
What I tried to do, and they said no.
Really? That's interesting.
I think the card needed some help.
Yeah.
So, here I am.
My understanding is it's – yeah, good. I mean, hey, you're a company guy. My understanding is it's happening on, quote-unquote, Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. Is that accurate?
I honestly don't know. They haven't told us where it's going to happen.
Okay.
They're like, all right, 6 weeks, you're up. Where? We don't know. I'm like, all right, cool.
Well, usually it doesn't matter, but in this case, it kind of does because if it's in Vegas, it's a small cage. Yeah.
It matters. It 100% matters.
Yes. So what's your preference?
A big cage. I'm a big guy. I love to strike. It restricts movement. It encourages grappling. It's ridiculous. It's a contender cage. Like, why are UFC guys, actual roster athletes, fighting in a contender cage? You know, they built a 30-foot cage for a reason. Because think of it like this. The NCAA has shorter hash marks than the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. That's for a reason. So you could have more room to run because you're faster, you're bigger, you're better. You know what I'm saying? Just like Major League Soccer, they have bigger fields than the college field. It's a bigger field. So you have more room to play. The game is better when you have more room. Just like the NBA, they move the three-point line back because the pros are better. It's the exact same thing. People just don't, like, compute. Like, there's a reason for these things. Like, real pros, it matters. It's just the facts.
So at what point do you think you'll know? Because this is a big part of your preparation, right?
It is, man. But we apparently with COVID, there's no rules and there's no transparency. So we just gotta roll with the punches, man. Like, it's gonna, either way, bro, we were meeting in the center and we're throwing down. Like, I prefer a bigger cage, but what I get is what I get at this point. We're in COVID. Apparently with COVID, they could do whatever they want.
Are you frustrated?
A little bit frustrated. It's interesting because this frustration isn't, it's kind of towards the situation, but it's all being directed at him.
Okay.
Like,
you're going to take it out on Jan.
100%. Like, every day, like, I get frustrated with something and it just amplifies. Like, you know what? F this guy. Like, now somebody's going to pay. Somebody's going to freaking pay. All right. And unfortunately for Jan, it's him. He's going to be in my way. He's trying to stop me from my freaking dreams and my destiny and my freaking belt. So he's going to pay. All his other shit is adding on to the amount of punishment I'm going to lay out to this fool.
How many times have you watched the Jones fight?
Maybe 5 times.
How frustrating is it for you?
Hey, it's not that frustrating. It's actually, like, encouraging. Because it's like, fuck, man, I'm really good. I'm really good.
Well, I remember I saw you a month later, the last time we were in Vegas, the last time there were fans at an event.
That was cool.
And it was a month later, right? And it was, I think it was kind of setting in. Like, you know, when I talked to you the Monday after, you were mad. But a month later, you're like, man, I lost out on money. I could be the champion. Like, at some point, did you go from, like, mad to, like, pissed off that you were robbed of something? Like, the stages of grief there. What was that like?
I went through all the stages, man.
Yeah.
Mad, pissed, frustrated. I want to get it back. You know, there's all kinds of emotions. And then at the end, like, now, it's just, it is what it is, man. Next chapter. Boom. Let's go. And then there's more little obstacles, but there's always obstacles in life, man. There's always something to overcome. There's always some kind of adversity. So this is just another chapter, another freaking more shit to the journey, man.
How do you think he's going to do at heavyweight?
I think he'll do well. He's moving to heavyweight because those guys are slow. You do realize that, right? He can't keep up with us anymore. After what me and Thiago did to him, he's like, man, I need to go up. I need these guys are getting too fast, they're getting too athletic, they're getting too good. The heavyweights are still slow, you know. I could do my thing. I could go back to doing my thing against them. So I think he sees there's better matchups for him at heavyweight than there are at light heavyweight. It's there are danger. They're heavyweights. It's dangerous. But John's hard to hit, and he knows that. So he's like, these guys aren't going to be able to touch me.
Him versus Stipe, who wins in your opinion?
At this time?
Yeah.
Stipe.
Him versus Francis, who wins?
That one's tough. I got to see Francis fight again. If he's not if he's not moving his feet like he should be, then John will win. If he is, then he will win.
But you said the Stipe one right away, like no hesitation. Why?
Well, because Stipe has great footwork. Mm. And Stipe moves very well. So that's why I said Stipe right away, because he has fantastic footwork and he could touch John up. And he has the chin. I mean, John doesn't hit that hard, but anyway, he still has the chin to take it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, but don't you think that'll be a problem if he doesn't hit hard at light heavyweight and then goes up to heavyweight?
Hey, that's his problem, man. That's right. I think he's going to focus a lot on like increasing his power. I think after the fight, when I said, well, they're like, what's the one thing that surprised you about fighting John? I was like, how weak he was. I think that bothered him. I'm pretty sure. And he started lifting like the next day.
You know, when all the drama happened like a couple of months ago with all of this, was that, I mean, I know you said you're frustrated now, but did you want to come back sooner and then you were kind of left in limbo, or was this the time you wanted to come back regardless?
The thing is, I just wanted them to tell me what the plan was. Like,
right.
I'm the number one contender and you're not telling me shit. You're not letting me know what's going on at all. Like, if you would have told me this freaking in proper time, it would have been all good. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, thank you for letting me know. Like, thank you for being transparent. Let me know what you're going to do with my career. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all aboard. I'm down to promote. I'm down to be with the organization. I'm down. I'm 100% down. Just put me in the damn loop so I could be part of it. You know what I'm saying? So I could prepare 100% and be champion for years and years and years and years. You know what I'm saying? Give me that opportunity. Don't just be like, well, we're just going to do this. Like, here. We need to save this card. So here you go. You know what I mean? Like, what? Come on, man. Like, I worked very hard to put myself in this position. I've sacrificed a shit ton my entire life. And then now you're going to hit me with, oh, well, we weren't really doing shit. And then now we're doing shit. So now we're to your division. We came back around to it. Oh, fuck, man. Oh, all right, here you go. You know what I mean? That's what frustrates me. It's just like, just come on, man. Like, be transparent. I'm all aboard. I'm all aboard. Like, let me know what's going on so I can be prepared too. I'm the one fighting. Like, what the fuck?
No, I understand. I certainly understand where you're coming from. Another interesting component to all of this is, you know, for the past 9.5 years, only John Jones and Daniel Cormier have held the belt at 205.
Pretty
nuts, right? I mean, that's almost a decade of just two guys holding the title. So you're going to be, you know, you win this, you're going to be the new face of the division. The idea of that, the thought of that, after everything you've been through, especially this year with all the frustration, I would imagine that gets you very excited. That gives you motivation.
Oh, I mean, that's the goal, Ariel. That's the goal. I mean, to be the champion. That's what we set out. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm talking to you, man, to be the champion. And I'm another step closer. Just one more battle, and I'm champion, and then I'll start defending my belt. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy road. Very, very exciting. It's very exciting still. Even though it's short notice, I'm still extremely excited. I'm freaking honored, and I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. Well, you know I'm going to be ready. But it's definitely an honor, man. It's definitely an honor.
Last thing for you, given the times, any challenges as far as training, your gym, training partners, whatnot, or is it pretty?
I just had to get on the phone. That was it. I got on the phone, called some people up. Hey, come train. Now I got people coming.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for it. September 26th, UFC 253. Two great title fights, Israel Adesanya against Paulo Costa. And, of course, Dominic Reyes against Jan Błachowicz. Two massive fights at 185 and 205. I'm happy you're getting your title fight.
Do not sleep on this fight, people. Believe me. This is going to be a freaking war. Literally, it's going to be a freaking war. Appreciate you all, man. Thank you.
Interesting stuff there from Dominic Reyes. You could tell a little bit frustrated with getting the fight on short notice. Obviously wanted the John Jones fight, the rematch. I thought he won that fight back in February, as I've said many a times, but he is getting that title fight. And I do believe that this is very much like UFC 167, where a lot of people, including myself, thought Johnny Hendricks beat George St. Pierre. He didn't get the nod. George walks away, vacates the title. They then book for the next year, March of the following year, 2014, Johnny versus Robbie Lawler at UFC 171. Johnny wins, and it didn't feel like it was a second place title. It didn't feel like a paper title because we thought that Johnny beat GSP. So I think if Dominic wins, it's the best thing for the division. it will feel like it's a real weight class that's just kind of moving along, like he's the lineal champion, to be honest with you. And I think that will keep the division healthy. So we'll see what happens there. As far as John Jones is concerned, for me, the best case scenario for the UFC is you keep him on the sidelines, let him bulk up, let him fight the winner of Stipe versus Francis. If you risk having him in there in his heavyweight debut against a Curtis, a Derek, a Volkov, I don't know, pick a guy, an Olenek, what if he gets knocked out? What if he doesn't do well? What if he gets injured? What if he slips on a banana peel? There is so much money to be made in John Jones's heavyweight debut being for the title. I would buy time, book Stipe versus Francis in December or so, have John fight for the belt in the spring or summer of 2021. Boom, everyone wins. That's what I would do if I were in charge. Anyway, a guy who knows a thing or two about John Jones is Anthony Smith. He returns to action on August 29th, main event in Las Vegas against Alexander Rakic. But before we move on and speak to Lionheart himself.
What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, meeting-free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch at your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autograph apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
All right, now here's my conversation with the great Anthony Smith. And now let us say hello to the man who will be headlining the UFC event on August 29th in Las Vegas. He's former UFC light heavyweight title contender, Lionheart himself, Anthony Smith, who goes up against Alexander Rakic in a very interesting three-round main event. This wasn't supposed to be the original main event. Zabit Magomedsharipov versus Yair Rodriguez was the original main event. Yair gets hurt, so they call upon old faithful Anthony Smith to headline another card. And I'll start there, Anthony, if I can, because I remember when this fight was first put together, you were like, you know what? Maybe it'll be nice to have, you know, a main event, a three-round fight. Well, here you are in a three-round fight, but you're the main event once again. So how did you feel when you got that call?
I felt good. You know, everything was going really, really good for this training camp. I don't want to be cliche and say it's the best training camp of my life, but, I mean, it's the truth. Like, things are just going good. I'm in a good place. I'm happy. I'm just everything's just really coming together. And they called the day of the weigh-in. I was actually in Vegas when they called. I was working the Derek Lewis and Olenek fight. I was working the desk for that one. And that's about the time the Yair fell off. And they just asked if I'd be willing to do the main event. And I said that I was definitely open to the conversation. And, you know, here we are.
You get a little bump when they bump you up to the main event?
Well, that's why it's three rounds.
Well, a bump in pay.
Yeah, that's why it's three rounds.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think people are under the impression that fighters that train for three rounds versus five rounds at their training camps look totally different. Not necessarily the case, like at least not for my camp. So it wouldn't matter if we're doing five or three. Like, I'm going to get in the best shape I possibly can leading into this fight. It's not like we get to a point where like, oh, okay, well, we're only fighting three rounds, we're probably good here. Like, it doesn't really work like that. But tactically, that changes everything. How we approach it, what the first round looks like, what the second round looks like. You know, I'm not fighting this guy like I fought Alexander Gustafsson when I didn't even care if I won or not. And I just went in and threw bombs and see what would happen. There's, you know, Alexander brings some interesting problems to the table, and we have to adjust to that depending on how many rounds it is. And I just wasn't, you know, and it wasn't like there was an argument. It was like, hey, if you want five rounds, like on 2 weeks' notice, like we got to do something here. And they were like, well, you know, the way things are working, I was like, well, I'll fight three for sure. So okay. I don't have to change anything. And they said, so you're willing to do a three-round main event? And I was like, yeah, for sure. You know, okay, they wanted to go. They went to Alex. He was good with it, and here we are.
So, in other words, it's three rounds. It's main event, but it's for the same amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Obviously, the last time we saw you, that was a much talked about fight, and there was all the stuff that happened surrounding it. Just curious, how long did it take for you to actually heal up from, you know, the busted orbital, the teeth, all that? So, how long did that take?
It was pretty fast. I tried to get cleared. I tried to get cleared like a month later, to get my suspension, lifted from Florida, and they were having some issues and I had to go back through all this different testing. And so it took about like an additional 2 weeks, but I would have been good to like a month.
Okay. And did you want to come back sooner or did you want to come back later and they called you with this? Or was this the perfect time for you to come back? Because I'll admit, when I first found out about you coming back in August, I was like, all right, that's 3 months. Those injuries seem significant, maybe a little time off. So I thought you would come back maybe in the fall, you know, October or so. What did you think of August 29th when it was approached?
Man, I would have fought sooner. I really would if they would have let me. I know the UFC does get a bad rap on a lot of things, and maybe some of them are warranted and maybe some of them aren't, you know, but they weren't really having it. Like I wanted to get back sooner and I really wanted to fight on Fight Island. Oh. And they're, you know, they're like, hey, you just had a tough fight, you know, let yourself heal. And we'll have something coming down the pipe for you. So I don't know if they had this in mind before and they just wanted to, you know, they had a time that they wanted it to be and it was now, but, yeah, I tried to fight on Fight Island.
Wow. Back in July, not the one in September. They're going in September. July. You're talking about
July.
Last month.
Yeah. I wanted to fight in July.
That's amazing. You just felt like you wanted to get back in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about this before. I do really well when I'm running out there a lot. Like on the flip side of that, I spend a lot of time bitching, you know, especially to you, like, man, we're going again. Like we do like, you know, we'll talk after the fight. And then like 2 days later, we got to talk again. Cause I got another one booked, you know? Yes. So like, I do kind of complain about it, but I perform better when that's happening. And maybe that's part of the way that I came up on the regional scene. It was constantly having to fight as often as I could, some of it financial and some of it just trying to get a shot. And I took every opportunity in front of me. So maybe that's just kind of how I'm wired, that I just want to keep fighting. And I just tend to do better that way when I'm not out of camp for a long time. Cause I always train like in between fights, but it's not like a hard training camp. Right. So, that's why I just want to keep the ball rolling. Like, even though it wasn't a great performance, I had some wind in my sails still. Like I'm all right, I'm already in this training camp mode. Let's just keep it rolling and let's fix these problems.
Have you rewatched the fight against Glover?
No, not beginning to end.
Any particular reason why?
No. I mean, my coach has pulled up some like clips and things that like some things that I did well and some things that we needed to fix. But, you know, I'm kind of just good with it. Like, like the John fight keeps me up at night. The Thiago Santos keeps me up at night.
Still. You
know, yeah. Still.
Wow.
But like, Glover, like we're kind of good, you know, like I'm good with it. Like the first two rounds, like there were some things to take from that positive. Essentially I did whatever I wanted when I wanted to. I think that those two rounds are the, you know, if you look at us from the outside, like that's where Glover and I are skill set wise. Like I'm just that much better than he is. I did come out a little hot, you know, I doubled my output, you know, per round, the highest output I've ever had in my whole career. I doubled it in the first and the second round. So, you know, I think that I'd been off for so long and I wanted to make a stamp, you know, I wanted to put a stamp on it and, you know, I didn't have any momentum and there's no crowd to like feed off of. And it was just different. So I just came out super hot. And even the warm-up was just different. It just felt different. So, you know, as I go into the first two rounds, I'm kind of doing whatever the hell I wanted to do, which amped me up even more because I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a finish. And, You know, what did Mike Tyson say, or Teddy Atlas, one of those guys, said, if you chase the finish, you're never going to win a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what I did, you know. And then in the third round, he hit me with the uppercut, and I was, you know, I couldn't track his punches from my right side. And I mean, what do? Like, you're fighting a guy like Glover Teixeira, you know, like half blind, and then your teeth are broken off in your mouth, and you're tired. And like, I did everything I could with what I had in that fight. So like I was heartbroken about it. Like, and it still sucks, but like my pride is intact. And Glover's a good dude. Like, if you're going to lose to someone, like if I was going to lose that night, I'm glad it was to someone like Glover. Like, I've ever been able to say honestly before, like, I'm happy for his success. Mm. So like, it sucks that I lost. Like, that really sucks. But like, what a good dude though, you know, like he deserves it. So, you know, he beat me fair and square that night, and I'm happy for his success.
By the way, did you put in new teeth?
Yeah. Look at that.
I mean, your teeth are I don't know who has better teeth. You or Darren Till.
Dude. So I've always wondered about Darren Till's teeth.
Yes.
And I always wanted to ask him. I just hadn't run into him yet.
Yeah.
And then I seen you talking to him, and he finally, because he never talked about it before. Right. I was like, there's no way that guy has perfect goddamn teeth like that. And they're not veneers. And then it was cool though, that he didn't like, some people that get veneers, they like pretend like, no, this is my real teeth, and I was just born like this. Like, no. You're lying. No way they're that perfect.
Darren isn't exactly bashful. I don't think that he's the kind. No. Who has better teeth, you or him, in your opinion?
Probably Darren. I would say Darren, because I still I haven't had enough time to get I have the gaps right here from where I've had teeth broken off before in fights. So I had to have them pulled, and then you have to wait for those spots to heal, and then they put the implants in. Oh. So it's, the implants are like really gnarly though. They drill these like things into your jaw, and you have to wait for that to heal. And then they put a post in there, and then they put the tooth on it. Oh, so no. Darren's are full all the way back. And so I have a couple gaps that we still have to fill. So
you will do that eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. But for now, Darren's are better.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The major talking point after was the interaction with your coaches, and then not the stopping the fight and all that stuff. Just curious, not going to harp too much on it, but has your stance changed? I feel like it hasn't, but you still feel the same way as when we spoke about it a few days later, right? You don't regret them not stopping, or the relationship you have with your coaches, or the agreement that you have that they can't stop a fight. Your stance on that hasn't changed, correct?
No, I'm still good with it. And we really haven't talked about it that much, you know, like, it's not one of those things that, and I don't know if we talked about this before, but it's not like I had this meeting and sat them down and said, there, here's the deal. Like, here's the rules, blah, blah, blah. Like, it wasn't like that. And then I think that people think when I say that I had like, I called a meeting and made them sign a contract, and you know what I mean? It's not that serious. It's more, you're watching a fight and it's going really bad, or someone does throw in the towel or whatever. And then, you know, like, you make those half jokingly, half not joking, like, you guys ever did that shit, I'll fire you, you know? And then you talk about it a little bit, and then it just goes on. So we really haven't talked about it much. Like, I still don't feel like the fight was in a spot that it needed to be stopped. It depends on where your argument is. Like, is your argument when a fighter can't win anymore? Because that seems to be Chael's kind of argument. Like, once a fighter can no longer win, Chael thinks that you should stop the fight. I will argue that one for sure, because I think that there's a lot to be learned there. And like, listen, after the third round, maybe it was the fourth round, might have been the fourth. I remember like standing up from the stool and like just blood pouring out of every hole in my face, like thinking, man, I probably can't do it this time. You know, like I pulled off a lot of crazy wins and pulled my ass out of some crazy stuff. But I just know, I like in that moment, I was like, I just don't think I can do it this time. But that doesn't mean that you quit, right? Like that's kind of my mentality. I always tell people that it's not, to me, it's not about, the whole thing isn't about the result. It's more about it's not about the destination. It's about the journey there. So I'm more worried about the things that happened between the first bell and the last bell. And I'm less concerned with the things that happened after the last bell. So even though I knew like, I'm going to do the best I can, but I probably can't pull it out this time. There's still a lot to be learned there. Like there's a lot that's going to happen in that journey. And you only find out who you really are as a person when it's staring you right in the face. It's kind of like when the dude broke in my house. Like, are you a fight or a flight kind of guy? There's only one way to figure that out. And that's in the moment when the dude busts through the door and you either run away or you face the problem head on. And fortunately I was the fight guy, but you never know what's going to happen in a fight when shit hits the fan and things are going absolutely terrible and your teeth are falling out of your mouth and you can't see out of your right eye and your nose is broken. So you can't breathe out of it and you're exhausted. You don't actually know how you're going to react until that happens. So like, that was the moment when I knew like, all right, like I'm that guy, like I can keep going, even though I know that there's no light at the end of this tunnel. And that's important to me. Like, I think I took a lot from that. And had they thrown in the towel, I wouldn't have had that experience.
Not trying to give you any excuses, but that was a crazy time in everyone's life, right? When you fought, COVID was, you know, very much new. You went from potentially headlining in your home state, right? And then the date getting pushed around all over the place to then going to Florida. And then of course the break-in that we talked about. In hindsight, like, did you feel like you were all there, or was there just a lot going on? How much can you attribute all that stuff going on to what we saw in the cage?
See, like I would like to like be honest about it, but it's always going to sound like I'm making an excuse, you know. And I don't want to take anything away from Glover. That's what I don't want to do. Like, he earned that shit, and it was tough. I didn't make it easy on him, so it wasn't the best training camp I've ever had. That's for sure. I felt like it was though in the moment, but I think that that's what we do as fighters. There was, you know, it was like just one thing after another. It was just, I was banged up and, you know, I just fought through it all and put in my head. I was like, you know, I didn't come this far to only come this far. Like I don't know. It's like, you're just trudging through all the shit and you just like, at some point, like people are like, hey man, maybe we should turn around. And then like in my head, it's just like, you just got to keep going forward. Like there's no failure, you know, like you have to keep going. And you know, the big part was not being able to train in Denver. That at the time I thought that like we were doing a good enough job at home, but it's just different here. It's the training part, the level of the training partners, not even so much the coaching, it's the level of the training partners that are pushing you. It's the out, you know, the altitude is one thing, the structure that's here. It's, you know, kind of at home, like I've just done so well here in Denver. And I think part of it is, and I don't want to blame it on my kids and my family, but it's like, are you really, like when I'm here, I'm just a fighter. You know, I go to practice, I go eat some food, get ready for the next one. And it just repeats. It's just rinse, wash, and repeat over and over and over. When I'm at home, it's like, all right, I got to mow the grass, got to take the dog out. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to go to practice. And you run to practice, you come back, you run the kids here. You're like, it's just a lot. So I don't think that was like a reason, but it's definitely a factor in everything being different for sure. And then the break-in, there's no way I could leave them after that. So there's that. But without making excuses, it wasn't the best training camp I ever had, that's for sure.
How is your family doing post-break? I saw you guys got a dog. That was a cool video that you posted.
Yeah.
So you got some backup, but do you feel like the kid, you know, it's very traumatic for children, very traumatic for you, for your wife, for everyone, right? Your mother-in-law, I believe, was there as well.
Yeah.
How are they doing?
Me, I'm like, I'm good. You know, I was only just worried about them. Like, I wasn't too shook up about it. It was the family, but the kids, like, it's not that much better, if I'm being honest. They still wake up in the middle of the night and want me to check the doors and they're having bad dreams and like it goes away for a little while. Like we'll go a couple weeks and none of them will say anything about it. And then out of nowhere, you know, something will remind them of it or whatever, you know? So I went to that guy's court date, last week sometime and on Friday. So like, I think that kind of brought it up. Cause then they started talking about it a lot, which I get it. You know, like it's not as bad as it was, but it's not perfect for sure.
You saw him.
I did.
What was that like?
He was shocked to see me for sure. But he was kind of being like a little bitch, you know, like he was sitting there with he had his mom, his dad, his brother, and his lawyer. And he's like dressed up in this like super nice button up and these checkered dress pants. And like, you know, I kind of watched him from the outside a little bit before I walked in. And I don't even care if he listens to this. I was being a super creep. So I was just watching him and, you know, they're like chit chatting back and forth. Like, doesn't look like he's that upset to be there. And then I walked in and they all sat there with their heads down and their hands between their legs. Like, I don't think they were expecting to see me.
Wow. And what was he there for?
Just to get a slap on the wrist.
Okay.
They ended up extending his court date, but he got a misdemeanor trespassing and a disturbing the peace ticket. Like it's total, it's a disaster.
Okay. So no real punishment.
No.
Dying to ask you about John Jones. What is your reaction of him vacating the title, moving on, and now Jan and Dominic are going to fight for the vacant belt, but John leaving the division finally, a guy that you have been linked to. Are you happy about this, or were you wishing that he would stick around?
Well, first, for the first time maybe ever in the whole time that I've been in a position to talk about John Jones, I actually need to give him some credit. He could have held on to that title and held the division up, and there'd have been, while he's going through whatever negotiations he's going through and then started talking about his heavyweight run and all that stuff and made them, because it was pretty clear that Dana and the UFC were not going to strip him. So, you know, for him to just make a decision that he was going to go up and then not want to continue, because John is that kind of a guy. Like, he wants what he wants, and like, that title's his, and that's something that he holds very dear to his heart. Like, that is very much who John Jones is. He's a champion and he needs that. So for him to vacate it and just kind of let the division move on and then him do his thing, you know, like right now, John Jones isn't a champion. Like that's kind of crazy, right? Like no one beat him and he just gave it up. And that says a lot about where John is kind of personally. Like he's okay right now without being the champion of the world. And every time he's either, you know, he failed a drug test or got in some trouble and had to be stripped or whatever, you could tell in even in the couple interviews you did with him, and you can tell that it just eats at him that he isn't the champion. And so maybe it's because it's on his terms and he vacated it, but either way, I think it's a fairly noble thing to just give it up and then go about your business and work on your heavyweight run and let everyone else kind of keep moving forward. Personally, I still believe that the Glover thing was a fluke and that wouldn't happen if we fought 9 more times. I think I win 9 out of 9. So I'm still in a position where I know that I can be the champion of the world, and I don't want the DC thing to happen to me. Like, I don't want to, you know, so say Reyes wins and then the winner of Glover and Thiago likely get that title shot. Right. I would imagine. Then they fight, and whether I fight again or I don't fight again, whatever. And I beat Rakic, then I beat the champion. Like, am I going to be the champion, or is everyone going to say, yeah, you're the champion of the world, but like, it's because John Jones just gave it up. Like, I don't want that DC thing to happen. And so that kind of sucks that I'll never get a shot at John Jones ever again, likely. So that kind of sucks, but it is good that the division's moving. I think Reyes deserves a title shot. I think Blachowicz deserves a title shot. And the rest of us can keep working our way to it.
How do you think he does at heavyweight? I mean, you know, Stipe, right? You know him pretty well. Stipe versus John, who wins?
I don't know. It's a tough one. It's always hard to like talk about John as if he's not a heavyweight, because John is a heavyweight that sucks himself down to 205. He has a heavyweight frame. He really does. And I've seen people talk about, they don't know how John Jones is going to be able to carry the extra weight. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've seen John outside of camp and I've seen John probably 240, you know what I mean? He gets the belly, and you know, if he can put the weight on in a good way and keep his speed, I think he beats most of the heavyweights. I think a couple of the guys at the top can give him problems. You know, that's, you know, your Francis Ngannou's, and that's just because Francis is such a freak. But I think John beats Francis easier than he beats Stipe for sure.
I think most people would agree with that as well. Yeah. Just based on Stipe's boxing, right. His foot movement and his reach, his length. I mean, he's just a really good boxer, right? He could probably go toe-to-toe.
Well, you know, the one thing that I do see a problem for Stipe is, for as short as DC is, DC had a fairly success, like a fairly easy time getting to Stipe.
Yeah.
And that's just not how DC fought John. You know, he just always had a tough time getting to him. It's the same problem I had with John. I just couldn't get to him. And, you know, that's what makes John great. So I think that Stipe, if he were to beat John Jones, he would have to figure out how he needs to be faster. He needs to be faster, and he's got to be more mobile. You know, he does move a lot already, but you know, the problem that everyone's going to have with John Jones is he just manages distance so well. You know, I think with a guy like Francis, you know, John would have to be a little bit timid and stay away, and then fight Francis in the clinch. Cause I think John gets to the clinch with Francis Ngannou, he pretty much does what he wants. Not so much with Stipe. Stipe is a good enough wrestler. He can fight in the clinch. He's super strong. Stipe is like a heavy guy, even though he only weighs like 235 or 240 at his heaviest. It's weird. Like, he's just so heavy. Like, everything he hits you with is just so hard. But John's good at staying away. You know, like, I think John is a danger factor in that division.
Would you agree with me that it's best for the 205-pound division if Dominic wins? Because it kind of reminds me a lot of the Johnny Hendricks, George St. Pierre situation back at UFC 167, where a lot of people, including myself, thought that Johnny Hendricks beat GSP. So even though GSP left the division, once Johnny was booked against Robbie Lawler and eventually won, it didn't feel like he was, you know, the paper champ or the secondary champ. It was like, all right, this guy kind of is the king without a crown. He deserved to win that fight in November of 2013, I believe it is. It's okay. We can live with this. And I sort of feel like the same thing will happen if Dominic wins. So A, do you agree with that? And B, are you rooting for Dominic to win? Is it better for the division if he wins, in your opinion?
I don't know if it's better for the division. It's definitely better for Dominic Reyes. Because if he goes in and he loses, then it's always going to look like he just had the best night of his life and John had that night.
Right.
For the division, you know, I never really thought about it like that. I don't know if it matters or not, but
okay.
I'm not really rooting for either guy. For whatever reason, I have a feeling that Jan can get it done. I just like that guy's style. He's just, everything's so basic, and he just does everything, and you know, he just looks the part. And Jan's kind of unassuming, but he's really, really big. He's got big power in his hands, and I don't know. It'd be nice to kind of see the guy that's kind of maybe winding down a little bit, getting close to the end of his career. He kind of went under the radar for a long time. He's been doing this a long time. It'd be cool to see him kind of get a title, and then whether he loses it right away or not, whatever, just be able to at least sail off in the sunset with a world championship.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's a fascinating time at 205 with your fight coming up, the Glover, Thiago Santos fight coming up, obviously the title fight, John leaving. So it's a whole new era. First time in 9.5 years that someone not named John Jones or Daniel Cormier is going to hold the light heavyweight title. So that's kind of exciting and fresh for the division as well. And I like when all this stuff is happening at the same time. So let's end on this if I can. Rakic to me is really good, and I thought he won his last fight against Volkan, so he should be on, I believe, a 13-fight winning streak if he would have gotten the nod. He lost via split decision. Are you impressed with him, A, and B, what kind of guy do you expect to see based on what happened in the Volkan fight?
Am I impressed with – yeah, I think I am.
You don't sound very impressed.
Well, listen, it's kind of the same shit. Like anytime someone like him comes up, or it's like, he's super, all right. What are the things that people say about Alexander? He's really strong, and he's explosive, and he's athletic, and he's big. Like, that's pretty much what he's used up to the point that he lost. Like he beat everyone just by being an athlete, and he obviously has some skills. His striking is good, I'll give him that. But it's not, it doesn't wow me. He throws looping punches, he jumps into kicks, he's just powerful and explosive. And versus people that, you know, like Justin Leddit, like that's not super impressive. Like you can kind of just be an, like you can just be an athlete and be big and strong and powerful and know how to throw a punch and beat that guy. No disrespect. He's just not at the highest level. So then he runs into a guy like Volkan, who's not afraid of him and who hits equally as hard and is powerful. And it backs him off a little bit. Like he's kind of a bully and he wants to push forward and he just runs people over. And then he kind of ran into Volkan and he couldn't, whether he won that fight or lost that fight, Volkan made him fight very differently from how he fought in the past. And I expect a lot of the same with me. He'll be really, really tough in the first couple minutes. And then when you force a guy like that to have to think and use his brain and set traps and kind of be tricky, he's not so tricky. You know, he's very basic, super dangerous though. So, and that's what's exciting for me. He's very, very dangerous. He's powerful and he believes in his power. Which is tough to deal with, but it could also be his downfall as well. The guys that rely on that, you know, are kind of surprised when the guy's still there. For as much as his cardio gets talked about, you know, like he was fairly tired in the third round of the Volkan fight. But I've also been in there with Volkan and I know that that dude makes you tired. So I don't know if that's just that fight or if that's how it is, but I see it being a pretty tough first round. And then once we get him settled in, then I think that I can do whatever I want. I just think that I'm the more technical striker. He's the more powerful one. I'm the better, we're probably equal on wrestling, I would imagine, but I'm absolutely the better jiu-jitsu guy. So he really only has one way to win the fight. Like he has to knock me out. And, you know, I think I've proven at this point that that's fairly hard to do. And with the better, you know, I think he's looking at it from, you know, I got a friend, you know, we have a mutual friend.
Oh,
and you know, he's got all of his gym people and his training partners and stuff hitting me up on Instagram, telling me that, you know, he's going to kill me. And
oh,
so it's like, he really thinks he's going to break me and make me quit. So like, it's kind of exciting to me because I fought two people in a row that I really like. Like I really, really, really like Glover and I really, really like and respect Gustafson. It's kind of fun to like go in there with like a little bit of a chip, you know, like kind of like F this guy, you know, like I'm ready. So I almost welcome it, you know, like it's super fun to go in there with guys. Like he reminds me of Hector Lombard a little bit. Like Hector was kind of like blowing me off and he was going to kill me and he was going to break me. He didn't know who I was and I didn't deserve to be in there with him. And then we've seen how that worked out. Like it's super tough at the beginning because that's just how they fight. But as it goes on, like you figure him out and it'd be fun to see him break after having the intention to break me. Like that's the fun part for me. So it's like, I don't know. Like I can't wait to talk trash to him in the middle of it. Like I'm super excited for this one. I haven't been like super giddy in a long time and I'm super excited for this one.
By the way, the mutual friend, is he giving you tips on what's going on at the gym?
Nah. Okay. I just don't speak or write the language.
Oh, my God.
But, right. So I can't translate it.
Right.
So he translates it and lets me. And listen, he's a young guy. He believes he won his last fight. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's looking at my last fight. So it's like, okay, like if you're going to look at that and that's the guy you think is showing up, like, your coaches are doing you a big disservice if you guys aren't looking back further than that. So whatever, it's fun. You know, like I'm happy that he's kind of like, I don't know, kind of gritty and kind of talking shit a little bit. Like it's really, I don't know. It's exciting.
Well, I was excited about the fight going into this conversation. 39th pro fight for you, 5 straight main events now. Things are going well, but now I'm even more excited. You have sold me on it. So I'm looking forward to this very much. August 29th, Las Vegas, the return of Anthony Smith against Alexander Rakic. And by the way, I just want to say no one cares about what I think about this, but you're doing such a great job on those broadcasts, man. Really, you're so well-spoken and thoughtful and honest. So I hope that they get to use you more because I really enjoy when they put you on the desk, the post-fight show and all that stuff, pre-fight show. Keep it up. And the series show as well is great. So keep it up, Anthony. I'm glad everyone's doing well. And I hope they continue to do well and, you know, your family is concerned. And I'm looking forward to this fight. So good luck to you and the team come August 29th.
Thanks a lot, man. And that means a lot to me, the media part of it, because it's really hard. It really is. And
you don't make it seem that way. You're very comfortable up there.
It's so hard. And, you know, I study really well. I think that's what kind of saves me a little bit is I once by the time I get there, I know these guys inside and out. And but that does mean a lot to me. I appreciate that.
I've said this before. I could talk to Anthony Smith all day. Such a well-spoken, thoughtful guy. Has turned into a great broadcaster, still a player at 205. I know he lost his last fight, but still a player in my opinion. And especially now with John out, opens the door, right? I mean, now there's a lot of possibilities for guys like him. Glover Teixeira, Thiago Santos, all the guys that lost to John Jones are now very much alive and excited. So we're going to get Reyes and Bachowicz on September 26th. We're going to get Glover and Thiago, and we're getting Rakic and Anthony. Those are pretty much the top six guys. We've got a bit of a little tournament here. This is very exciting stuff at 205. So next up is Lionheart versus Rakic. I'm looking forward to that fight, especially hearing Anthony talk about and seeing the kind of place that he's in mentally and physically. That is good news if you're a fan of Anthony Smith. All right, time now for everyone's favorite segment of the week. And as always, it is brought to you by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Setting the gold standard for authentic Mexican beer since 1925, Modelo. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
So, Ariel, I had a long talk with myself this past weekend, and I decided that there are some changes I need to make in my life because, as a minimalist, I am always assessing where I am, who I want to be, and quite frankly, I'm not happy with who I am right now, so I made some changes, and whenever I feel I need to make some changes or some adjustments to my life, there's one thing that I commonly go back to reset my priorities, and what I do is I practice the rule of three. So what the rule of three is, you ask, thank you for asking, I basically assign a number of habits that I want to start incorporating into my week. So for example, the rule of three habits that I've chosen this week are: I want to read for 30 minutes. I want to go on a walk that's at least 45 minutes long. And there's a couple other habits in there. And I want to do all of those things three times in a week. And then I go to my list after I do, I check it off. And I just keep doing this just to reinforce these habits. Because as we all know, the way you build habits is just constantly doing stuff over and over again to the point where I can be doing these things where I don't have to think about it or make a list to do it. So I feel that I was losing my way a little bit. So if any of you are losing your way and there's things you want to incorporate into your life, I would suggest doing something like the rule of three.
I like it. The rule of three. Three is a great number. One of my favorite numbers, by the way, 33 is my favorite because of the great Patrick Ewing. But I've actually started to read a little more during this pandemic. I don't know why. Now that sports have come back, I've done it less. But in the beginning, when there wasn't anything going on, that was one of the big new additions to my life. Because you get caught looking at the phone and TV, iPad.
That's another one of my changes, is to go screenless for 2 hours at a time.
Do you still do screenless Saturday, by the way?
It's been harder during the pandemic because the whole point of screenless Saturday in normal times was to get away from the connection. But yeah. Now you're not really seeing people anymore, so you thrive for that connection. So the reasons why I wanted to do screenless Saturday, I didn't want to do it anymore because we are social beings and you're not getting socialization during the week. So if it has to be virtually, then it has to be virtually. So I don't do screenless Saturday. I still do it, but I don't do it for the entire day anymore. It's more like a 4 or 5 hour thing as opposed to like a 10 hour thing.
Wow, I never thought that you would give up screenless Saturday. I mean, you were
really when life is going back to normal, screenless Saturday's back.
It's back, okay. All right. I thought you just became such a big UFC fan that you couldn't bear disconnect on fight
night too. I've been all over the fights, fight nights, big pay per view events. We're having people over.
You were devastated about Daniel Cormier.
I was devastated. I was so devastated. I was devastated about him, about Sean O'Malley. Hopefully it doesn't happen to Colby Covington in September.
That's right. Big fight against Tyron Woodley. By the way, speaking of Sean O'Malley, I do suggest you also check out the ESPN MMA YouTube channel. We've got a new interview with Marlon Chito Vera. I'm a big Marlon fan, big Chito fan. He's got a great backstory. Street fights in Ecuador. The guy's he's a really smart guy who respects the history of the game. So if you want a little more insight into that win and who Marlon Vera is, I suggest you check that out right now on the ESPN MMA YouTube channel. Also of note, believe it or not, my friends, we are off next week. And when I say we, I mean myself, DC, no Monday show, no Wednesday show. My first off week in 2020. You know, I took a lot of pride in trying to keep the train rolling along, especially in the pandemic, different times doing things from home. And I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Not to say that, you know, we're out of the darkness or anything. Obviously, it's still very much a real thing in our country and in this world. But, you know, it's sometimes it's good to unplug and recharge. And at some point, I had to take that break. So next week will be that week. So no Monday show, no Wednesday show. We'll be back August 31st with Daniel Cormier. So that'll be exciting, his first time back on the show, and then the regular schedule. I will have an Ariel and the Bad Guy for you next week. So I'm not totally disappearing, because I know you couldn't survive with no Ariel for 1 week. I mean, let's not get crazy. So ESPN Plus will have Ariel and the Bad Guy next Thursday. Next Thursday, by the way, a lot of people ask me, Thursday is the new Ariel and the Bad Guy day. So it's DC and Helwani Monday. We've got this show on Wednesdays, the pod, the Helwani Show pod. And then Thursday is Bad Guy. And we've got some other stuff in the works as well. So stay tuned for that. Anything you want to add to all this, TST, or that's it?
That's fine. It's definitely...
You don't want to give me a review or something? Nothing? That's all you got?
We're good on time, I'm sure. Was that your sign-off? Was that your official sign-off?
No, I'm still talking. This is the show right here. What are you talking about?
Oh, is it?
This is still the show. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I've got another review here.
What do you mean? You just checked out on me there? Were you not listening?
I thought that was your sign-off. I don't know. I thought I knew you. We got a 5-star review here from Music Ward titled Modelo Especial. Only MMA podcast I listen to currently. I enjoy DC and Ariel together, and Ariel's become one of my favorite sports media guys. Yes. Great interviewer and very articulate. I look forward to seeing you do NBA sideline reporting again, too. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit.
Yes, I love it. I love everything about it. Please continue to rate, download, subscribe, and review. We appreciate you more than you know, and you allow us to continue to do a lot of fun things. So trust me, those 5 stars and those reviews and all that, people pay attention. They mean a lot to a lot of people. So thank you to all of you who go out of your way and do that sort of thing. All right, we're out of time. Big weekend of MMA coming up. This is the official sign-off, by the way, so you can play my music. We've got 2 big events this weekend. We've got the return of the UFC. Of course, they never take a break. It's Pedro Munhoz against Frankie Edgar. Looking forward to that. And also, it's the return of Bellator, and it's the return of one of their best champions, double champ Ryan Bader, going up against Vadim Nemkov in an important light heavyweight fight. So stay tuned for that. That's Friday, UFC on Saturday. I would say I'd be back on Monday to talk about it all, but I'm not. And I hope that you can survive. I'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about it all. Well, I'll be on Ireland Bad Guys. Well, you get the point. I won't be on Monday, but I'll be back later in the week. Anyhow, enjoy the fights. I love you all. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to TST. I'll talk to you soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.